Well, you know, if you've been here for a few weeks now, we've been going through a series of messages entitled The Name Above All Names. Name Above All Names. And now we're coming to the end of this series as we're wrapping up our Christmas series here. And we'll be in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. We've been in Isaiah for the last few weeks, and so now we're going to switch it up a little bit. We're going to be in Matthew here today, Matthew chapter 1. So if you want to open your Bibles there, you're welcome to do so. But I want to say Merry Christmas to everyone. Thank you for coming and celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ with us here today as we worship Him, and we're grateful for all that He has done for us and all that He will do for us. And so this morning, our aim is to remind people of the reason of the season. And we want our Christmas message here to be a God-centered message as we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was born in a manger to make a way to the cross so that we can be saved and we can be reconciled. And that's the message we want to get across to you here this morning. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as followed after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make a public example of her, was minded to put her away secretly." We see that, we see the love that he had for Mary here. You know, anytime we have a breakup of relationships, the thing that we want to do, if this is in our time period, they would go and splash it across all the social media, all the horrible things that they've done. But no, not here. He has a love for her, and so he's a just man, so he feels like he must put her away, but he wants to do so secretly. "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to make Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to be born human flesh, to be a little baby boy, Lord. Lord, I can't imagine the things that Jesus Christ had to give up in order to be born a little child here on this earth. But Lord, I'm so grateful he did. And we're here to celebrate that, Lord. We're here to celebrate your birth. And Lord, not just your birth, Lord, but what your birth represents. It represents salvation for us, Lord. The Savior's come. So God, I pray that you would help us to understand that truth here this morning. And Lord, for those that may not know that truth, or at least know it personally, I pray that today will be the day that they would come to know you as Lord and Savior of their lives. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, today is Christmas. We have rightly been anticipating it all month, and maybe some of you even longer. And now it's Christ's birthday. It is Christ's birthday today. And so we want to celebrate Christ's birthday on this Christmas day. It's a good reminder that he was also born not in the day, but also he was born at night. You think about that. He was the light that shined in the darkness to all men. And in previous services throughout this series, we've read the scriptures where Isaiah spoke of Jesus' birth and gave him names above all names. He revealed the character, and we see this on the screen earlier, where we see Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We took time over the last four Sundays to look at the names and the meanings behind each one of them. But this morning, I want us to look at the name that was given to Christ at his birth, the true name above all name, the name of Jesus. Now, you may have noticed for some of the reading in Matthew here that this was not a name that Mary and Joseph had picked out, but it was the name that was revealed to them by God himself. People in those days usually didn't know whether they were having a boy or a girl. They didn't have ultrasounds back in those days, and you couldn't go get a blood test to determine the sex of the child there. However, because God's revelation, Mary and Joseph not only knew what Mary was having, they knew that she was having a boy, but also they knew the name that they were supposed to name this child, and that name would be Jesus. They didn't have to spend months going through looking at babies' names in a book or searching the internet to find the perfect name for their child. They didn't have to go through all that. The child came with the name, and his name was Jesus. Names have meanings. Some names were prophetic. Abraham means the father of many nations. Some were descriptive based on what the child looked like. Esau means hairy. So he was a hairy little boy, so they named him Harry, Esau. Some were reflective of the time in which they live. Ichabod means no glory. This child was born during a time when the glory of the Lord had departed from the temple because the Philistines had taken the Ark of the Covenant, the place where God would come and have that Shekinah glory and meet with his people, and they have taken it. And as a result of that, this child was born and they named him Ichabod, meaning the glory is gone, the glory is departed. God gave Jesus a specific name for a specific reason. And we find that name in Matthew chapter 1 in verse 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. Now, I want to ask you three questions here this morning regarding this verse. Our first question is, why is his name Jesus? Why is his name Jesus? Well, the reason why his name is Jesus is because he is the Savior. He is the Savior. The angel told Joseph, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save. The name Jesus is equivalent to the name Joshua found in the Old Testament, which is translated, the Lord is salvation. Therefore, the name Jesus can be interpreted to mean Savior. Do you remember when the angels, whenever he was with the shepherds there in the fields on the first day of Christmas, as we just read in Luke chapter 2? Verse 11, it says, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a what? A Savior. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. God gave him the name Jesus because he was the Savior. Listen, that's good news for us today. The Gospel of John tells us in John chapter 3, verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. Baby Jesus didn't come to judge and condemn the world. He didn't come as an avenger to destroy the world. He came as a Savior to the world. He came to on a rescue mission. Oh, how our world needs rescuing today, does it not? We look at the various tragedies around us, personal tragedies in our lives and national tragedies across the country and international tragedies across the world. We can all agree here this morning that this world needs rescuing, can we not? Jesus came to save. Our first question is, why is his name Jesus? It's because he is the Savior. So let's take a look at our second question here this morning. Whom does he save? Whom does he save? I mean, if you say that he's going to save somebody, well, then we got to figure out, well, who's he going to save? I mean, you just don't have a lifeguard go out into the ocean and say, I'm going to go save somebody, but there's nobody out there. So there's got to be somebody. Who's going to be the recipient of this? Who's he going to save? The Bible says he's going to save his people. He's going to save his people. Back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. It says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save, notice this, his people from their sin. Jesus came as a Savior of the world, and yet the angel says that he will save his people. So who are these people that Jesus is going to come and save? The Bible makes it clear that the call of salvation goes out to all the world. Jesus says in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22, look to me and be saved, all you, notice this, ends of the earth. Notice you, all you, ends of the earth, for I am God, there is no other. The angels told the shepherds in the field in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to who? All people. It should be to all people. And so the call of salvation goes out to the end of all the earth. All people everywhere are urged to turn to the Lord and be saved, for he is God, and there is no other like him. This is the sense in which Jesus is the Savior of the world, in that he is the only Savior of the world. If you are going to be saved here this morning, you must go through Him. The good news of Christmas is that the Savior has come and His name is Jesus. And if you are going to be saved, then you must be saved through Him. There are a number of other religious figures out there that we've had throughout our world's history, and people look to them for salvation. But listen, there's only one that went to the cross, and there's only one that rose from the dead. You can go to the graves of all those other people out there, and then their bones are still in their body. And I asked you the same question I did back in Easter. How can someone who is dead offer to you life? But what we see is that we see Jesus Christ was born, and He has the name Savior. There is no other Savior. And yet, even though the call of salvation goes out to the whole world, not everyone responds. Many reject Jesus as Savior, and they serve other gods instead. They serve the gods of other religions, or while others may follow their own path, they may carve out their own path instead of God's and do whatever they think is best for them. And so, although Jesus is the Savior for all, not all are saved. For sadly, not all come to Him for salvation. Back in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the angel said, He will save His people. So who are these people whom Jesus came to save? Well, at first glance, we might think the angel is speaking about the Jewish people. I mean, after all, Jesus was Jewish. So maybe he's talking about all the Jewish people there. He came as the Messiah to fulfill all those Jewish prophecies. Perhaps the angel meant that Jesus came to save His Jewish people, and that would be partially correct because many Jewish people have come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, but not all Jewish people have received Jesus Christ as Savior. Sadly, in fact, as a whole, the Jewish people have not embraced Jesus as their Savior or their Messiah. So who are these people whom Jesus is talking about saving? Well, Jesus told the Jewish leaders of His day, He says, I'm the good shepherd in John chapter 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Notice this, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. He's talking to the Jewish people here, but He says, yeah, but there is some other sheep I have which are not of this fold. That's us, that's the Gentiles. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will become one flock and one shepherd. Jesus' mission was not to save the Jewish people, but to form a new people composed of both Jews and Gentiles, who together would be the new people of God. This is the church. And of course, this was God's plan all along. God said to Isaiah, back in Isaiah 49:6, He indeed says, is it too small a thing that you should be my servant to rise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore and preserve ones of Israel? Notice this. I will give you as a light to the Gentiles. Even back then, 700 years prior before Jesus was born, He is reaching out to the Gentiles and says that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Who are His people He came to save? Well, all people everywhere, Jews, Gentiles, rich, poor, great, small, who respond to the Christmas message by placing their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The Christmas message is the good news of great joy for all people, for Jesus is the Savior to all who come to Him. Let's look at the third and final question here this morning. From what does He save them? From what does He save them? I mean, if you're going to have a Savior, you've got to save them from something. You just don't go out and save something and there's no problem. There's got to be an issue there. There's got to be something that they must be saved from. What is that that they need to be saved from? He saves them from their sin. Once again, going back to Matthew, the angel told Joseph, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. There are many things Jesus could save you from. He could have saved you from debt. He could have saved you from illness. He could have saved you from troubles and trials in life. He could even save you from yourself. Some of us probably need that. But those are all temporary things of this world. One of the pressing needs that we all need is for someone to save us from our sins. Sin damages relationships and it disrupts lives, but worst of all is it separates us from God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. What is wages? Wages is something that you earn, something that you're deserving of. When you go to work, you come back and you get a paycheck, right? That's what your wages are. That's what you're deserving of. Well, because of our sin, the wages of sin is death. That's what we are deserving of. And that death is a spiritual death that separates us from God. But, I love the buts in the Bible, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death, so we need someone to rescue us, someone who can save us from our sin. Jesus came to be that Savior. So what does that mean for us? What does it mean that Jesus saves us from our sin? J.C. Riley puts it beautifully in his comments on this verse. He says, the name of Jesus means Savior. It is given to the Lord because He saves His people from their sin. This is a special role. He saves them from guilt of sin by cleansing them in His own atoning blood. He saves them from the dominion of sin by putting in their hearts the sanctifying Spirit. He saves them from the presence of sin when He takes them out of this world to rest with Him. And He saves them from all the consequences of sin when He shall give them a glorious body at that last day. Man, I couldn't have said it any better myself. That's why I quoted it. It's good. Why is His name Jesus? Why is His name Jesus? Because He is the Savior. He is the only Savior. His very name means Savior. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. What a powerful verse that is. If you ever had any doubt about how you are to be saved or who you need to trust in order to be saved, that verse right there sums it up beautifully. There is no other name under heaven given among men while we must be saved. I don't care who they are. I don't care how religious they are. I don't care how wonderful they are. There is only one Savior. Whom does He save? He saves His people. The call of salvation goes out to all the world, and all who come to God through Christ become part of the people of God. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. From what does He save them from? He saves them from their sin. Jesus saves you from the penalty of sin when you put your faith and trust in Him. He saves you from the power of sin through the Holy Spirit, and one day He will deliver you from the very presence of sin when you go to live with Him forever in heaven. That's what it means to be His people. He will save His people from their sin. In John chapter 6, verse 67, it says, then Jesus said to them, to the 12, do you also want to go away? There were some that were following Jesus, and they couldn't handle what Jesus was talking about, and so they walked away. And then Jesus said to the 12, are you also, do you want to go away as well? But I love Simon Peter's response here. He answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? What a great response. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let me ask you here this morning, where else are you going to find salvation? To whom are you going to go to in order to find salvation? Who else has the words of eternal life? No other person in this world can ever wear the title Savior. Only Jesus. Only a sinless child from heaven, God in flesh, is qualified to be your Savior. Because in order to be the Savior, they had to be sinless. And there's nobody else in this world that is sinless. Only Jesus Christ. He was born in a manger to make a way to the cross in order to offer you and me life. Just like with any gift, you can accept it or you can reject it. Let me encourage you to receive the gift of Jesus this Christmas season. Make him the first present that you open up this season. Again, look at the verse in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. This is the good news of Christmas. The baby born on Christmas is the Son of God who came to save his people from their sins. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus. And it's his birthday that we celebrate today. And so, I say happy birthday, Jesus. Happy birthday, Jesus. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. And Lord, what a joyous day of celebration that we have. As we see the kids perform, and we maybe go back to that time in our mind's eyes, Lord. And we think about the events that unfolded and think about the events that happened and what it must have been like to be those shepherds out in the field. And all of a sudden the angels, the whole host of angels, Lord, just appear and tell us about this wonderful birth that's going to happen. The joy and the excitement it must have brought them to then to go and they find the little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger, just like the angel says. What a joyous day that must have been. And Lord, what it must have been like to be Mary and Joseph. Man, to feel the weight and the responsibility to know that you're going to be birthing the Savior of the world. That you're going to be the parents of the Savior of the world. What a daunting task that must have felt like to them. But Lord, this is how you came. So that you can reach us, Lord, where we are. You came in flesh, provided salvation for us. You lived a sinless life. You've gone through all the trials and tribulations that we went through, Lord. As the human body, you experienced thirst. You experienced hunger, Lord. You experienced pain. You went through all of that so that you can go to the cross and you can provide salvation for us. And so, Lord, we take time this time of year, Lord, especially to really focus on your birth and just an opportunity just to celebrate and to say thank you, Lord, for coming. Thank you for dying on the cross in order to provide salvation for us, Lord. And I pray that if some here, Lord, today that haven't experienced that salvation, I pray that today will be the day. I pray that they would receive Jesus Christ right here, right now, this morning, before they leave. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And if you do have a need here this morning, then you need Jesus Christ as Savior, please see me afterwards. I love the opportunity. It would be my most joyful moment of this week is to sit down with you and to share with you how you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Please don't leave today without knowing Jesus as your Savior.